In March 1974, the Parish and Goals Development Committee of St. Mary's in downtown Greenville met and decided that there needed to be a new parish on the east side. That same month, the new community was entitled the Greer Taylor's Endeavor. Mass was held in various Protestant churches, such as Grace Methodist Church in Greer, until September 1974, when the new mission was hosted more stably just down the road at Lee Road United Methodist Church. In October 1974, 14.5 acres of land were purchased with the generous help of St. Mary's parishioners for a new parish. That's where we are right now as we sit here. In June 1975, the Greer Taylor's Endeavor, it was the 70s, they had to be edgy with everything, right? So that came to an end and was split into two new communities. On December the 12th, 1975, Bishop Unterkeffler erected the Taylor's community as Prince of Peace, with Christmas as our patronal feast. We began our Golden Jubilee celebrations this year on the feast of St. Joseph, when the idea percolated about opening a new Catholic community on the east side of Greenville. And we're keeping this festival going all the way to next year, when we will commemorate the canonical establishment of that new community as a parish. It's a great time to remember where we came from, celebrate where we are now, and to chart the course for the future as the Pilgrim Church wends her way all the way to the new and eternal Jerusalem. Now, I confess that I've struggled for a while to think about the best way for us to make sense of all of those things. You know, there's so much that can be said. There's so many stories that can be told, so many sorrows and so many joys, so much laughter and so many tears, where the lives of so many people have been affected by this one spot on the map where Jesus calls us to build his kingdom. Now, I could keep you here for years, as you know, talking about it all. But we have a whole jubilee to share together the memories of the past and our hopes for the future. And so I looked at the Word of God. And as you will not be surprised, the gospel message that the church appoints for next week shows us the way. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. There were so many people who had become followers of Jesus. Right? They heard him preach, they listened to his teaching, and they saw his miracles. And they responded to the signs and wonders of God with faith. And they then put their faith into action by sharing reasons for the hope that was within them. Now, you've been with me long enough. So often in my preaching, I've talked about what it means to be broken, to be vulnerable, to need restoration, and how the church is, to use Pope Francis's phrase, a hospital for sinners. We've talked in the past about how hurt people, but that healed people heal people. Anyone who has had a life-changing encounter with Christ knows that there is hope, and hope unleashes love. Ubi caritas et amor, Deus ibi est. Where true love and charity prevail, God is ever found. Prince of Peace isn't just a place where some people who are kind of like-minded gather. It is an oasis of hope in the solitude of life where healed believers can bring the wounded and the needy and give them comfort and rest and courage. You know, the Psalms talk about some people, you know, they have ears but do not hear, they have eyes but do not see. Yet this is a place where people can hear the Word of God and be transfigured, where they can see goodness in action and be spurred into ministry for the sake of the good news. How many times in the gospel Jesus places his sacred hands upon people in that ancient sign of connection, blessing, and care? And if I had to count how many times the work of our hands has been a vehicle for the sanctifying hands of the Lord, then I can't count that high. Right? How many children of wrath were turned into priest, prophet, and king, children of God and heirs to heaven at the font of regeneration in the sacrament of baptism? How many teenagers and adults have had the hands of the successors to the apostles laid upon them to seal them with the gifts of the Spirit and scatter them out on mission? How many souls in distress, covered in guilt and shame, have had hands extended over them, giving them Christ's pardon and Christ's peace in the sacrament of penance? How many of the suffering and the dying have had the mighty hand of God sustaining them in grief and welcoming them into the lovely gardens of paradise through the sacrament of extreme unction? Next year, we will have one of our own, Daniel Perry, who will have hands imposed on him and the Spirit called down upon him, making him a priest forever. Or Father Renard West, who was received into full communion with the Catholic Church when we were in the pack for Mass, and was called forth from you to raise consecrated hands to bless your hands that do the Lord's work. Deacon Bob, Gus, Michael Cavan, Michael Thompson, Mark Thompson, who discovered their vocation to the diaconate here, and those deacons like Deacon Nestor, who exercised their diaconia here, ordained by the hands of God to ministry and service. How many priests, like the ones that will be coming back next week, whose hands have served the Lord with joy? And then the hands of so many lay people. How many people have come to the church for help in crisis situations? To St. Vincent de Paul, pro-life ministries, the soup kitchen downtown. How many people whose hands have been held as they buried their loved ones from the church? Or the hands that reached out to welcome newcomers and give hope to those who weren't sure they were even going to get through the day? And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. In the ordinary form of baptism, the minister touches the ears and the mouth of the newly baptized child and says, "The Lord Jesus made the deaf hear and the dumb speak. May he soon touch your ears to receive his word and your mouth to proclaim his faith to the praise and glory of God the Father." in the extraordinary form of baptism, before the actual baptism proper, the priest puts spittle onto his thumb and touches the ears and nostrils of the child and says, "Ephphatha," that is to say, "be opened," and perceive the fragrance of God's loving ways. "But you, evil spirit, be gone, for the judgment of God has come." This one small ceremony of the rite of baptism, I think, tells us a lot about who we are as a Christian people and what we can do in this place. The judgment of God has come. The Prince of Peace reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in this place, in the most holy sacrament of the altar. And we can say with confidence that he reigns on the only throne he ever wanted, the throne of our hearts. His dominion is an everlasting dominion and will never be destroyed. His justice and his mercy. We are called to witness to those attributes of his holiness by working for justice and testifying to his mercy. Now, you know just as well as I do that there's a lot of evil in this world, and we can be the light in the darkness, showing that love has conquered even death itself. We receive his word and proclaim his faith. We praise him. We glorify him. That is what we do in this place. And when we do that, we can perceive the fragrance of God's loving ways. We can see the wonders he works for those who love him. And finally, be opened. Prince of Peace is not some kind of fortress of solitude in a citadel of self-righteous certitude, a closed community that clings to mere human tradition to do what we've always done and cast judgment upon others from that small and restricted place. If that's what you think Prince of Peace is, then I need to disabuse you of that, because that is not what we are all about. And if that's the kind of church you're looking for, that's not the church. And that will not be this place if I have anything to do with it. Just as Jesus allowed his heart to be pierced with a lance, we allow ourselves to be broken open by his word. Just as from the open heart of the Redeemer flowed the water of baptism and the blood of the Eucharist, we have open hearts and open hands to wash the feet of the sinner in service and nourish the saint in holiness. We hand on what we have received, and we bring out of the storehouse of the church treasures both old and new. We celebrate that old-time religion while singing a church into being that is both ever ancient and ever new. As we continue our celebrations of 50 years, as we connect with God and reconnect with each other and disconnect from the world, as we commemorate the past and look forward to the future, this is the mission that as your pastor, I want to give you. This is your mission that I want to live by in my priesthood in this place. Ephphatha, be opened.